Scripture lesson is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verses 137 through 149. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. You are righteous, O Lord, and your judgments are right. You have appointed your decrees in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me, because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but your commandments are my delight. Your decrees are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry to you, save me, that I may observe your decrees. I rise above dawn and cry for help. I put my hope in your words. My eyes are awake before each watch of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. In your steadfast love, hear my voice, O Lord, and your justice preserve my life.
For the word in creation,
verses 31 through 34. Listen now to God's word to us. He, that is Jesus, put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every single one of our hearts be wholly pleasing and acceptable unto you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So today's scripture offers one of Jesus's favorite teaching tools, the parable. The Oxford Dictionary states that a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a spiritual or moral lesson. Frankly, I've read many parables and have never once found them to be simple stories. The parables of Jesus are not simply stories we read. They are stories that read us. They help us to see ourselves in the mirror of characters portrayed. Jesus, the master storyteller, is able to disarm us with parables and their seemingly simple storylines. We let our guard down and we enter into the story. We feel the emotions. We make value judgments and on the characters in the story, and then bam, the truth reads us. That's you and me in that parable. Pharisees, tax collectors, leaders, disciples, sinners, the lost, the found, the wise, the foolish, the ready, the unprepared. That's us. But the parables don't just read us. They read us in light of kingdom values. They make the unfamiliar truths of God's kingdom plain to us using everyday objects and experiences like coins, soil, trees, barns, rocks, fields, pearls, animals, lamps, food, feasting, sons, workers, judges, and today, seeds and yeast. But the parables don't just illuminate the truth. They sometimes conceal it. Jesus says in Matthew 13:13, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." There is a mystery in the parables. There is a truth that needs to be mined beneath the surface, like a treasure hidden in a field. The parables read our inability to respond to the truth. Everyone hears, but not everyone hears and discerns their meaning. Those who hear and respond are revealed to be Jesus' disciples, but those who do not remain in darkness. So as those who seek to be Jesus' disciples, to hear and understand and be doers of his word, let us turn our attention to today's gospel lesson. As I read Matthew's gospel, one thing in particular stood out to me. Mustard seeds and yeast. Individual seeds and yeast grains are very small. If I dropped a seed or just a bit of yeast on the floor right now, you'd be hard-pressed to find, much less retrieve them. In a world where bigger is better, mustard seeds and granules of yeast fall short. Yet Jesus chose these things to illustrate the kingdom of heaven. Several years ago, I served in a retirement community in Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. One of the residents, a faithful, lifelong Presbyterian, baked our communion bread every month, as she had done for the local congregation she attended in Arlington, Virginia. For 60 years, this lovely woman baked bread for her faith communities as we came together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Knowing we had folks worshiping with us who couldn't tolerate gluten, the saint of the church began exploring and experimenting with different bread recipes so all of us would share in one common loaf. Bread baking for her was an act of faith. It was an act of love. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus shares that a woman takes a bit of yeast and adds it to 3 measures of flour and works it until all of it is leavened. Do you know what a measure of flour is? I've always read right past that little tidbit, assuming that a measure of flour was analogous to our standard cup. 3 cups of flour, 3 measures of flour, enough to make a loaf of bread. It turns out, my assumption was way off. According to the bread monk, yes, there really is a bread monk. His name is Father Dominic Garamone. He is a cookbook author, public television personality, children's book author, and blogger. Father Dom writes, quoting, "The amount of flour in this parable is the most surprising element, which is not entirely evident in most English translations. 3 measures is the usual translation for the Greek triasata, which is a little over a bushel of flour, 1.125 bushels to be precise. That's a ridiculously large amount of flour. You would need a 100-quart Hobart mixer with a dough hook as big as your leg to knead it. Translating into kitchen measures, 1.125 bushels is 144 cups of flour. With 144 cups of flour, we'd be able to make about 48 loaves of bread. There are many lessons available to us in Jesus's parables, but I'd like us to consider one. When I think about 3 measures of flour and 1 small bit of yeast and the abundance that those bits produce as the woman works the yeast into the bread dough, I am amazed by the sheer abundance of blessing that God makes possible through this woman's work. So often I encounter folks who think they aren't making that big a difference in the world. They minimize their efforts and its impact because they aren't finding the cure for cancer. They aren't solving the problem of homelessness or managing climate change. I hear things like, "I'm only a volunteer. I only tutor a couple of times a month. I just brought them a meal. It's something anyone else would do." You know, it turns out that we serve a God who specializes in small things. In God's kingdom, tiny mustard seeds move mountains, and small grains of yeast produce a bounty of food. Good gifts, no, great gifts, come in small packages. New Zealand pastor Justin Tamlin wrote about this parable in his blog. Quote, "What we see in the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of power and might, but a reign of love. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, comes into being by spreading from person to person, and not by force. It is a quiet revolution, at first silent and imperceptible, like yeast mixed with flour and mustard seeds planted in the earth. But ultimately, they are dynamic and transformative. Love is not linear. It grows exponentially." Jesus' parables challenge us to rethink what is possible. Even the tiniest act of faith or positive action on our part can have massive impact in the world. We must never doubt that God can take our action and multiply its effectiveness. God is the soil, God is the flower that makes the small efforts grow. And God has promised us that even the smallest amounts of faith or faithful action will bring gifts into our life, into our community, and the world beyond our expectations. Like the ripples of a small stone being thrown into the water, our faith sends actions into the world around us. The parables of the mustard seed and yeast offer us both reassurance and promise. Reassurance that we are enough, and that even our tiniest demonstration of faith or faithful action will have positive impact in our world. The promise is that together, our acts of faith and action will ripple out beyond our individual lives, into our Trinity Faith Home, into the larger community, and beyond. The promise is that our efforts to build God's reign will grow within our community in ways we can't even imagine. God will take our individual and communal efforts and knit together something beautiful, mysterious, life-giving, and transformative. So be encouraged, my friends. Trust that you are enough. Your faith, whether mature and strong or young and growing, in all your efforts to share love and kindness with others, can bring the realm of God into fruition, because it is God who blesses and multiplies our efforts and transforms them into blessings beyond our comprehension. In closing, I'd like to share a story with you about a little girl named Lucy Blaylock from Tennessee. When Lucy was 8, she'd been invited to a girlfriend's birthday party. And so she asked her mom if she would teach her how to sew a blanket. She made the blanket and was amazed at how grateful the girl was. She was so grateful to receive a handmade gift of love. So she asked her mom if she could make another blanket and offer it for free on Instagram for any kid in need. In an interview 5 years ago, Lucy said, "We posted something on Instagram, and got 16 heartbreaking stories from kids, each requesting a blanket for themselves. My mom told me to choose one, and I just could not stand the thought of any of those kids going without a blanket. So I made one for all 16 of those children, and I shipped it to them. People heard about what I was doing and started requesting one for a child they knew. So I started sewing, and I kept sewing because I kept getting requests. Folks started chipping in money to help us cover the cost of fabric and shipping, which really started to add up. Everything is free to the family that I send a blanket to, and it takes me anywhere from 2 to 3 hours to make a blanket. But what is really cool," she said, "is that I know the story of the child while I am making his or her blanket, which means I can pray for that child the whole time I'm sewing. I've now made over 600 blankets, and they've gone to just about every state as well as 17 different countries. Each one has a hand-stitched heart somewhere on it, reminding the kids that they are loved. I've talked to my parents, and we believe that if Jesus were still on earth, He'd be making these kids feel loved and supported. So I'm just trying to be his hands by making these blankets. I think kindness always matters and always will. It makes the world a better place when we do kind acts for one another." When COVID struck, 11-year-old Lucy stopped making blankets and began producing masks for healthcare workers. At the age of 13, Lucy went back to making and sending her blankets around the world. Lucy's efforts, rooted in her faith, started small. She just wanted to share Jesus' love with one child. Like one mustard seed planted and grows to become a home for the birds of the air, and tiny yeast grains that produce bread to feed hundreds. Lucy's great act of love started with a small act of faith. Her selflessness and dedication to the needs of others has inspired strangers in the greater community who in turn support her ministry, and together each of their individual offerings has transformed the lives of thousands of people now in 29 countries. Lucy's Blankets is now a nonprofit with presence on Instagram and Facebook, where she shares the stories of the children nominated by family and friends so that others too can pray for them. Some of these children have serious health needs. Others are being bullied at school. All of them receive a handmade blanket with a stitched-on heart that reads, "Love, Lucy." With love as our guide, each of us can contribute to the building up of the reign of God. May it be so for you and for me, my friends. Thanks be to God, this day and forevermore. Amen. From this place, know deep in your heart that you are loved beyond anything you can comprehend, and that who you are and the gifts you have are sufficient to praise God and change the world. God will take what we bring and multiply the blessings beyond anything we can imagine. So go. Go knowing that God goes before you and behind you, that Jesus leads with you and walks with you, and that the Holy Spirit surrounds you and sustains you this day and forevermore. Amen.